This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm joined with my co-host, John.
Hey, what's up?
And this week, we are talking about Bottoms.
Hey. It's quite funny that we've been trying to watch Bottoms for such a long time now. Like, since we've heard about the film, and we've been waiting for, like, any updates when we're going to see this film. Like, is it going to come out anytime soon? And we heard that it was going to come on streaming services. We're like, no, we want to see it in cinemas. But luckily, it came out in cinemas.
Listen, I have PTSD. Like, I was so hyped for this movie all of 2023. And, you know, it feels like it's a tradition at this point where every, you know, every October, November time, we settle around and Rachel Sennett has another queer movie for us to enjoy. You know, we had in 2022, we had Bodies, Bodies, Bodies. And in 2021, we had Shiver Baby. And of course, in 2023, we had Bottoms. But yeah, like, I spent so long being like, oh my God, I'm never going to watch this movie. And I know that we're covering it late. It's January now. We were supposed to be doing it in, is it January? Because we're actually, when's this episode supposed to be coming out?
Time didn't exist here on this podcast. We don't know when.
We're in a liminal space right now. Actually, it's March, but yeah, we are doing it much later than when it actually came out. Yeah. But this movie deserved to be covered because I had a great time with it.
Same. I just recently watched it and I'm just like, this is something that I've missed. You know, like a comedy film that you haven't watched for such a long time and you come back to it and it's like, yeah, still funny. So that was like the kind of thing that I had with the vibe. It's just like, finally, something that's really unique and funny at the same time. And it's just so much fun watching this film. So
finally, some good fucking food.
We ate, okay? We ate something.
And I'm saying finally because we did Madam Web. So there you go. And see, we're recording this like so far in the past that we don't know how that went. But I'm assuming not very well.
Hey, future me, I hope you've seen the film. I hope it's one of the films of all time. So
I'm sure it was one of the films that was made. But what I think is interesting about Bottoms is that you're right. It does kind of feel like something that we've seen before. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, it reminds me of like many kind of like classic high school movies.
Yeah.
But this time from a queer perspective, and that feels so refreshing. It feels so great to tell it from a female perspective, tell it from a queer perspective. And I just think that this movie just kind of hit every beat so perfectly. It was just such a blast. Full spoilers ahead for anyone who hasn't seen it. Bottoms, briefly explain the plot for those who don't know.
I can't wait to explain the plot. Like, literally, this is on Google. You can look this up and it just sells it so well. So, unpopular best friends PJ and Josie start a high school fight club to meet girls and lose their virginity. They soon find themselves in over their heads when the most popular students start beating each other up in the name of self-defense.
Brilliant.
That is sums the plot so well. If you haven't seen it, please do see it. It's such a unique and nostalgic, you know, like with high school films, as you said, it's like all the culmination of that. And it just turns up to 11 of like the most craziest things ever that happened in the film.
Yeah, I mean, what a concept. I feel like this is kind of the movie that we needed right now, with so many blockbusters and so many big studio movies ignoring queerness. It feels amazing to have a movie that is just so unapologetically queer and that embraces all aspects of the queer experience. I thought that was fantastic. What did you think of the movie?
Yeah, I just said it with the queer aspects. I just really loved how it doesn't shy away from that and just goes into the most surreal. This film is quite surreal to watch, but I really like they didn't shy away from the queer aspects and they looked into lesbian relationships and trying to find love in this world. This film was just so absurd with so many comedic moments in the film that I just couldn't stop laughing. And I really liked how it touches on some really serious topics as well, with self-defense, with women being abused. It doesn't shy away from that. And I loved how it just balances that as well throughout the film. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. It's just so funny with the football team. It's so stupid, like with Jeff. It's really refreshing to see from the female perspective, like they're like the strongest people here in this film. And you get to see these jock boys in the football team. They're just completely getting just scared and they're trying to support each other, especially in the most funniest scenes I've seen in the movie when Josie accidentally hit Jeff with his knees in that and he cried and all the football team were like, no, Jeff! we gotta get Jeff and Jeff was just crying like a baby. So it was really refreshing to see the female cast being the strongest characters and the men being just cry babies, and so that was just the most funniest things ever. You get to see cool details throughout the film that are just so absurd that it just makes you laugh so hard, and it just reminded me a lot of the comedy, and it's so good. Like, they just call back to some really good stuff as well.
Yeah, I love the depiction of society through this high school, and it really does work so well because there's an accuracy to its depictions of, like, you know, these men who are like on top of the world and get all of the attention and yet are actually just kind of crybabies. That one of the funniest sequences, which I definitely want to talk about more in depth later, is where they vandalize Jeff's house and he's just bopping along to, I can't remember what song it is, actually. What's the song that he's singing along to? I'm going to get the soundtrack up.
Get the soundtrack up. While you're looking it up, that is one of the funniest sequences in the film. There's a lot to unpack in that sequence, but I really loved how, again, the film is just so surreal on that.
Oh, it was Total Eclipse of the Heart. That whole sequence with him just, you know, dancing along and, you know, being so unapologetically camp. Like, I think a lot of this movie is really camp and I love that, but I love just how far they go with those characters. But also, there's a moment, like, where the football team are genuinely terrifying when Hazel goes up against one of their strongest members and he beats her up, and it's genuinely harrowing. I think some of that, like, as funny as this movie is, it also speaks to true experience and horrible things that men do to women to assert their own dominance. And I thought that was masterfully balanced. I really felt both of those scenes. I could laugh at the football team, but I could also feel fear of them. And I think that kind of speaks to the women in the movie, you know, that there are some who feel so self-conscious that they have no choice but to go back to them. There's one character in particular who gets with Josie, and when she finds out that the fight club was made to, you know, just so they could sleep with hot cheerleaders, she ends up getting back with Jeff because she kind of feels so insecure and like she has nowhere else to go. And I think it really speaks to this belief that women need a man to be happy, when that is completely not the case. And there's so many things this movie are empowering. One of the things that I thought was most empowering, actually, was the fact that they even save the football team at the end. The football team, who do not deserve to be saved at all, but the fight club, you know, these women, they prove that they are better than them because they will look out for everybody, even though they have kind of been shunned at every turn. There's a really good line at the beginning when they're like, people don't like us because we're gay. Well, it's not just because we're gay, it's because we're gay and untalented. And we see like these other gay characters who people are like, oh my god, great, slay, whereas they're just like completely unpopular because they actually have no talent, and that's kind of what leads them into this huge spiral of lies that leads to the fight club.
This is a massive reference to the film Fight Club. And the film Fight Club explores the side of toxic masculinity. And then what I found really clever with this film, it completely changes that perspective with women and the experiences they've been through. And they use this Fight Club to help each other out or to use self-defense. And that is really empowering to see that, and just makes you like, oh, wow, this is a complete, you know, there's a hidden message throughout this film. I mean, it's really funny, but it's a really serious theme, you know, like there's a lot of topics to talk about, you know, with women, how they struggle with everyday things, what men doesn't experience. So I'm really glad that they touched upon that as well. I mean, this film has everything, to be honest. You know,
it's so true.
And one of my favorite things about this film, again, this is like a surreal film. It's the dialogue with the comedic bits. I mean, with comedy, you don't know what's going to happen or what unexpected things that happen, like a tree that blows up out of nowhere, I mean, with the bomb, and then a car explodes, and then this whole fight club is started because accidentally hitting Jeff's knee, and he cries like a crybaby. And it's just like really interesting how it plays all out in not a realistic way, but also in a realistic way. I don't know how to describe it. It's just something that you have to watch for this journey. And the conflict, I thought, thought it was just really interesting. Like, Josie and PJ, they wanted to be with someone. And one of those heartbreaking things about the film was with PJ, she thought that Brittany was also a lesbian, but she's not. And it's like, oh, wow, that's quite sad. You know, like, you root for these characters, but they tried to use the Spike Club to impress some cheerleaders. And it just gives them this interesting arc for them as well for this whole film. You know, like, with Josie and PJ, feel like they're validated for something along with this chaos that they just created. And it just gets really heartwarming at the end. You know, they tried to do something with this. So yeah, it's the most realistic, but not the most realistic at the same time. I mean, crazy stuff that happens. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a really funny line at the end when Brittany's like, yeah, no, I'm not gay. I just like gay porn. And it's like, that stuff is really funny. I think there is a heightened reality
to
this
movie. And then Jeff was like, is it real?
Yes.
Yeah. He was like, yes, having an existential crisis. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, that whole ending, I do want to talk about the ending. But,
oh,
I mean,
the whole ending. Wow. Yeah.
That is cinema of the highest order. I cannot.
With that long,
like,
shot take.
I was, oh yeah, my God. Yeah. Okay, we're going to talk about that. But first, I want to talk about just, you know, PJ and Josie are kind of like tragic characters. And
very,
I think,
tragic,
especially,
yeah,
it's interesting how their trajectories completely go opposite ways. They're both tropes of this kind of genre, but seen from a completely different perspective. Normally, it would be, you know, the straight male character who has a crush on a girl and the girl doesn't like him back, but then he finds a girl who was there all along. But no, that's actually what PJ gets in this movie with Hazel. If I had one criticism of the movie, it's that Hazel's role is a little bit too in the background for me to care sometimes when Hazel is talking about how she's been taken advantage of. But at the end of the day, I do really like how Hazel and PJ kind of find each other in some capacity. We never, like, they don't get together, but they kind of, there's an acknowledgement that they actually care for each other and like each other in a deep way. And PJ is always the person who's kind of making up these lies and saying things and trying to deflect from herself, but when really what's happening inside her that is something really big, you know, whereas Josie is kind of a bit more quieter and a bit shyer, but she's more genuine. And that's why she, you know, she gets together with Isabel, and that kind of, even though there's a bit of a rocky period in the middle of the movie, that does kind of last. And I really do like that we kind of see these different protagonists. They work so well together. And the fact that they make the Fight Club for all the wrong reasons, but it endures for all the right reasons, that makes the ending so much better when everybody comes back together at the end. And that slow motion shot as the camera slowly pulls out as somebody is carrying Jeff on their back. I can't remember who. Was it Josie?
Yeah, Josie. No, was it?
Yes.
No.
Oh.
Yes, in slow motion, right? Yeah, yeah, in slow motion. Yeah, 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 yeah,
yes.
I love
and,
that.
And she's carrying him on her back, and they're running as all of the members of the Fight Club start to beat up this football team, and it goes so crazy. Like, they literally murder people.
Yeah, one of the characters had a sword.
Yes. There is just murder at the end of this movie, and I think that's so perfect. Like, this is a universe where you can get away with blowing up someone's car or blowing up football fields, and it's a movie where you can get away with just murder. Like, football teams kill each other. They plan to kill Jeff, and then the Fight Club kill them all, and it works. Like, it's a universe where that is just kind of okay. And I was ascending in the cinema when I saw that slow motion begin to happen, and it was slowly pulling away, and it was amazing.
It was amazing. That was one of the best sequences I've seen, where these characters who just create this Fight Club really beating up these footballers, and it's just like, oh wow, we just went to 0 to 100 real quick. They're just literally killing them. And then at the end, one of my favorite shots is, like, you get to see them all in blood, but then they realize that there's an entire audience behind them this entire time, and they watch this crazy thing ever, and everyone's just stunned. And then it's just like, so funny. Again, what you said about a universe that you can get away with everything, and then it kind of goes along with that audience who just watches that entire thing from the side. It's like, oh, I don't know what's happened.
Yeah, there's kind of almost a suggestion as well, like, there aren't many adults in the movie, but what adults there are people who are completely oblivious to any of the injustices or any of the horrible things that go on. The only person who does truly understand the severity of it lives in a caravan and is, like, almost like a social recluse. Like, the main adult character is this teacher who is just the funniest guy. Like,
Mr. G.
He's so funny. Like, there's so many points when he's like, damn it, I knew women were evil the whole time. And it's just really funny seeing this kind of again, he's another example of a dramatized version of masculinity. And what's so great is that there's truth about all the characters and all their insecurities and all of their bottled up feelings and the way that they mask their emotions, but also the way that they express their emotions. That's true for the male and female characters. But I do appreciate how much more ridiculous the men are. As you say, the football team are completely complete crybabies, but also psychopaths. And the teacher is just somebody who's so clueless and is thinking that this beating up is like, you know, the, oh yeah, this is healthy female empowerment.
Self-defense.
Punching each other in the face. Yeah, exactly. That all works so brilliantly.
Yeah, with the men being the side characters, they've just been so dramatic and just have this completely different perspective of women. And Mr. G, he's like unaware of a lot of things as well. I think that's a perfect, you know, way of seeing that, you know, with films, you know, like you've seen it from the men's perspective, but then with the women's perspective, you get to see this dramatic group of men have this different perspective, but also being crybabies as well. So that's something that you get to see throughout the film. And it's like really refreshing. I just couldn't stop laughing with like Mr. G and with the principal and the footballers. You just get to see like they're the ones that are being laughed at all the way through, and then you get to laugh along with Josie and PJ. I mean, they're very conflicting characters, but then you get to go with this journey and they create this fight club, and it just gets really heartwarming, but then it just falls apart and it just goes back together so well at the end, where everyone is just celebrating on a football field where all these dead footballers just there, and it's just like, oh yay, everyone's...
Oh my god. Months ago, right? I don't really remember how, like, when this was, but months ago I read on Twitter that a lot of people were murdered at the end of the movie, and I'd kind of forgotten it when I got into the cinema, and then the car exploded and immediately my brain was like, oh my god, I just remembered that I heard a spoiler. What was it? And then I immediately was like, oh my god, someone's going to blow up the school. Hazel's going to blow up the school. And I was really expecting this to happen. And then I had no idea that it would be such a bloodbath at the end. And I mean that in the best possible way. It was just so cathartic to see all of these kind of, you know, entitled, conventionally strong men get killed in the most hilarious and gruesome. And also just kind of, it makes you want to pump your fist in the air and be like, fuck yeah, like it was so, so cool. I mean,
yeah, so cool.
Going from like Shiver Baby to the Bodies, Bodies, Bodies to Bottoms. I know that that these aren't all the same creative teams, but in my mind, that is a wonderful little trilogy from Rachel Sennett, a trilogy of autumn films in the 2020s. And I hope that she keeps on making amazing movies, because she, you know, like, I think the whole cast in this movie is incredible, and you know, the direction is so good. It's great to see the director who did Shiver Baby come back and do something else like that. You know, that's all just so good. I think every single element of this movie comes together so, so very perfectly, and my critiques are so small. Again, you know, it is the kind of thing like I Hazel's role in the movie, and you know, the kind of maybe the lack of adults a little bit, but seriously, I haven't had this amount of fun with a movie for a while. I was just same. Hooked in, especially for a movie that I was so hyped for. Like, it's rare that a movie will grab me and will live up to the hype, but it absolutely did.
It did. There were some critiques that I thought about, like very small ones. Like with the third act, I thought it was a bit, you know, you didn't know anything about the things that happened with the football team. Like, there's going to be a dead person that's going to happen this year. And I thought that was kind of out of place. And then with Hazel, I wish there was more time to explore with Hazel, because it felt like she was a part of the movie, but I thought there was a lot to explore with her, because I thought she was just there to create this bomb. But there was a lot to explore with Hazel. But other than that, what a great film. What an amazing film that was.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. What are you going to give it out of 10?
Oh, okay. I'm going to say 9.
Yeah, me too. I agree. What a cool movie.
I think this is going to be one of the best films I've seen this year. So,
yeah. Absolutely. I agree. And that's weird to say, because we recorded this in 2023. So this might even make it onto our top films of 2023, perhaps. Which is a video that is already released by the time this video comes out. Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
If it does.
You know how it works.
Then it might get a bit weird with time. With that.
Turns out we're time travelers. That's what we never told you guys.
Yes, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey. So yeah,
brilliant. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're watching on YouTube and you liked it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review if you think we're worthy.
And you can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Aswell, on Twitter for more thoughts from Tom, and TikTok to see edited clips, which are all also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts. And you can find links to that in the description below. Thanks for L. James Mayer for the excellent theme, and Ronan Phillips for vocals, as always. And I think that's everything. Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.